Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Behind home plate, we bringing it to them all day. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Win or lose, we bringing it to you always. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Orange or black, we rebuild the pack. No matter where we at, you know we coming back. Section 336, we on this, so tune in. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Yeah, yeah, welcome to Birdland. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Birdland. Now come the boys from Section 336.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Baltimore sports fans of all ages, welcome to Section 336, next generation of Baltimore sports talk. I am your endearing, stuttering host, Matt Sroka, and as always, I'm joined by a guy who's never blown a 21-point lead in the fourth quarter, the button lover, Josh Sroka.
That's right. Are we starting with Ravens talk again? 2 weeks in a row? Straight into that game, which is just such a weird game when it was like Lamar's best game of his career, and then everything falls apart in the fourth quarter?
Well, the craziest stat was 711 times in the history of the NFL, a team has been leading by 21 points going in the fourth quarter. 710 times it happened for the Ravens. No, 711 times. And 711 times the team has won. This is the first time. The 712th time was the one time that the team actually lost when leading by 21 points in the fourth quarter.
Right. And unfortunately, it's at the same week that the Orioles have also decided to blow every opportunity they have to win. So it's been a rough week for Baltimore sports.
Yeah, but fortunately, my fantasy football team crushed it. So it's not all bad. There's some good in there as well. So
I got a win as well in my fantasy. So I'll I'll take that. Though, I'll tell you what. If you want to talk fantasy football, biggest mistake I ever made in football is drafting Tom Brady this year. Yeah. Thinking that Tom Brady is still a good quarterback. Whatever personal stuff he disappeared for 2 weeks, apparently destroyed his career as a quarterback.
I don't think that's true. I think he doesn't care about the first 2 weeks of the season. He's pacing himself. I think come December, he's still going to be there putting up big numbers.
So no coincidence that he sucks for the first 2 weeks of the season and he missed 2 weeks of training camp.
Yeah, and his team is still 2-0.
You don't go, right, well, yeah. But you don't go 2 weeks and 2 weeks and, hey, maybe there's something there?
No, I'm not. If I'm a Bucks fan, I'm not concerned. I'd be more concerned if I was a Ravens fan.
All right. Well, what are we going to do? Talk about whether we're going to sign Lamar or Shohei Ohtani? Which one's coming? Which one will be in Baltimore next year? Is that going to be today's topic?
What's more likely? Ohtani gets signed, trade for Ohtani, or Lamar gets an extension with all his guaranteed money?
Well, I think Ohtani's the more likely in those two scenarios.
You think Lamar's gone?
No, but I think why wouldn't you put him under the franchise tag next year? Makes no sense to not franchise tag him for 2 years.
Yeah. And Lamar's not going to cry because he's going to make a ton of money doing the franchise thing.
Right. Right.
As long as he doesn't get hurt. So it's going to work out well for him.
That's why when you bring up the extension, no, I say Ohtani. But Ohtani to the Orioles would be amazing. I don't know if it's the type of move Mike Elias can make. We have the farm system to do it. I don't know. There's no history of Mike Elias making a blockbuster trade like that. And Ohtani to the Orioles would be a blockbuster trade.
Yeah. I mean, on the one hand, if you look at this team, what do we need? A top rotation starter and a big power bat in the middle of our lineup.
Suddenly, you can get it in one man.
We could solve that with one trade. We could solve both those issues.
Right.
And I think, listen, if you look at what the kind of the Juan Soto trade, I think that's maybe the comparison of what the Padres give up for Juan Soto.
I'd do that. I'd give up that much for Ohtani.
Right. I think you can actually do it. And people on Twitter were saying you can't do it, but I think you can actually trading Rodriguez, Henderson,
none of the guys have been
or Rutschman.
None of the guys were up.
Or Grayson.
No, I think you can trade Kobe. And you got some other guys down there that you can trade.
Yeah, Kowser, Westberg. I mean, our farm system now is to the point where I was thinking about this, and we'll get into it in the show. But you look at the infield next year, I'm still a proponent of signing a shortstop. There's a lot of good shortstops.
Right, but at the same time, we've got young guys.
We got Westberg. We got Norby. We have depth. Even now in the high minors, we have depth. And so it is. But again, the timing too, because the reason they're even exploring a trade with the Angels, or the Angels are even exploring a trade, is because, you know, he's got another year in his contract and then he walks.
Right.
And this would have to be something where the Orioles were also willing to pay him
$1 billion
to stay. Yeah.
But at the same time, you look at it, and like you said, we all know that we've been talking since last year, hey, Correa and a pitcher. Well, you could get Ohtani for the same price as a top end and Correa. So why not just get Ohtani? Especially when, like, it just seems to make too much sense. You're talking about, well, a pitcher might not want to come to Baltimore, so we had to move the walls to convince a pitcher. Well, maybe a pitcher that can also take advantage of the fence as a batter would also like to play in Baltimore. So
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt he would. The Orioles would want him. He would be a good fit. All that stuff. I mean, the question is, the other part is too, like, if you're trading for him, and this is, this is all a pipe dream. But if you're trading for him, you're trading him for him for 1 year. The other argument could be, if you really are willing to put up, I don't know what's going to take, $500 million or something insane. If you're really willing to, because you're right, he's going to get paid. Like a combination of a starter, like we've never even seen this before. He's going to make what a top hitter makes plus what a top pitcher makes. But if you're going to do that, why would you give up all the prospects for 1 year of him? And then, like, why not just wait a year till he's a free agent and then pursue him?
No. It's only if you can lock that extension up.
Right. But what I do know is the Angels, like, we have fleeced the Angels in trades over and over again. Not the Jahmai Jones.
There's a good
track record. The trade. I was a lose-lose. But the other ones, we've done well. And I have a feeling the Angels are going to blow this whole thing. And maybe, you know, we can revisit this if they don't trade him in the offseason and the trade deadline. Certainly, he is going to be the talk of everyone's team at the trade deadline. And I feel really confident that if Mike Elias, you know, if we're in a position next year where things go according to plan and we're in the playoff hunt, I'm very confident that Mike Elias is going to pull the trigger to bring in some more talent at the trade deadline.
I agree.
Ohtani will be the biggest name out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think having that conversation then is a little more realistic, though, even.
Right, because you're not giving up quite as much.
No. Yeah. Right, because every day he's on the Angels, he's close to free agency, and therefore the trade value goes down. And I don't see, just because there's so many question marks with next year's team, it doesn't make sense at this point to, I think, really pursue Ohtani.
Come on, Ohtani at any point makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, assuming you can lock him up for a long-term deal. And it's going to be, but it would take trading away, you know, six of your top prospects. But Mike Elias has shown the ability to kind of develop prospects and do a really nice job with that.
And
we have the best farm system in baseball, so those things are working for us.
Doesn't it make you just make you feel good as an Oriole fan to see a national article about Ohtani options and where Ohtani could go and see the obvious Yankees, Dodgers, Padres, the obvious big teams, and then see the Baltimore Orioles listed there as an option as well? That people are suddenly seeing, hey, the Orioles are not – the Orioles surprised everyone this year, mixed up some chaos into the AL East this year. But now people are starting to realize, hey, the Orioles are playoff contenders next year. They are this year, but they really are next year.
And it probably won't be Ohtani, but there will be, I'm pretty sure, at some point, whether it's this offseason or the trade deadline next year, like there's going to be a trade for a big name player. Yeah. And that sounds weird that the Orioles are even involved in trading for big name players. But we're getting to that point in this, you know, in Michael Eisner's plan where it's time to use, because there's, if you look at our minor league system, I think we have more major leaguers in our minor league system than we do have spots to put them.
We do.
And so what do you do here? At some point you have to make trades for higher quality talent at the major league level.
And what articles like this Ohtani article that came out is just the preview of articles coming out this offseason. And if national reporters start putting the Orioles in those markings of every big free agent, hey, the Orioles could fit. The Orioles have the money. The Orioles have the farm system. That then helps the Orioles for all these other free agents who are out there who in the past have said, well, I don't want to go to the lowly Orioles. Now they're seeing, wait, the Orioles are considered up-and-comers. The Orioles are playoff-bound. The Orioles could get all these other guys. Maybe I do, as a free agent, want to sign in Baltimore.
Oh, sure. People pay attention. Agents pay attention. Players pay attention. Like, they know what's going on with Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman right now. Like, that is the two guys at the office. I mean, you can talk about Ryan Matkus if you want. You can talk about other guys. But this is the Henderson.
Has been Gunnar Henderson as the only guy who hasn't cooled off.
Yep. I mean this team is the Henderson Rutschman team. Everybody else jump on for the ride, and maybe Grayson hopefully will be there next year. He had another start tonight at Norfolk, which was kind of a mixed start. But yeah.
And then Stowers pulled another dong out tonight. So
he did?
Yeah, okay. He's starting to take advantage of playing time.
Yeah, when he's given playing time. Right. Hopefully he'll get more playing time here down the stretch. But yeah, we're going to, and I want to get to it later in the show. There's going to be interesting roster decisions to make for this Orioles team. But Josh, you hinted at it before. It's been not a good week for the Baltimore Orioles. When we last talked, I don't know when we talked, Tuesday maybe.
A week ago.
Yep. It was okay. We had just lost a series to Boston. So things were looking a little bit bleak, but right. Hey, we had the Nationals. We swept the Nationals. We took care of business. We had two off days that week. And then we went back to the Blue Jays, and we were painting scenarios in our mind. All right, sweep the Nats, you know, take the series against the Blue Jays.
And we're back
we're back in it. We would be. But unfortunately, we lost the series 2 to the Blue Jays, 2 out of 3. And so even then, teams are struggling.
And we gained a game.
Seattle's struggling.
We gained a game in that. We went from 5 back to 4 back.
Yeah.
After that
and
series.
So you think, okay. You know, Tampa Bay hasn't been playing great.
The Tigers are horrible.
Yeah. You go against the Tigers, you just swept the Nationals. Here's another bad team. And then you lose 11-0. And then you lose the second game 3-2.
Yeah.
Amazingly, somehow, we're still only 5 games out of the wild card. You would think we should be 10 games out of the wild card.
And that's right. That's the thing is, those tough losses with the Tigers, and you're like, oh, okay, we're done. We're out of it. But then you look today, and it's, we're still 5 games back.
Yeah. The one hand is encouraging. On the other hand, it's so frustrating because since Tampa Bay and Seattle have been losing, you could have gained ground, you know, with wins against the Tigers. And instead, you just stayed where you were.
Yeah, and Tampa Bay's got the hardest schedule left in baseball. On the other hand, the Mariners have one of the easiest left in baseball.
Right.
So there's tough things like that. Like, as we talk tonight, thankfully at this moment, the Orioles are finally winning and they'll probably take the one game. Hopefully, fingers crossed, they'll take the one game tonight from the Tigers, which is a good opportunity. While the Rays are playing the Astros. But the Rays are currently winning that game. So then you're like looking, well, we're not gaining anything. It's really frustrating when they had opportunities and they just didn't show up.
Yeah, and now you look at the schedule, and unfortunately, the two teams you're chasing now, Seattle and Tampa Bay, you play Tampa Bay a bunch at the beginning of the year. You just don't play them anymore.
Nope.
You end the season with a 3-game series at Toronto, but at this rate, I don't know if that's going to even really matter.
No, and the tough part
is 7.5 back from Toronto now.
No, and the tough part is after tonight, you got 4 against Houston. Houston's the best team in the American League.
Yeah.
And they're not really taking the pedal off yet.
What's Houston's deal? Let me look. Are they? They're not playing for the division anymore because they've already wrapped it up, and they're not even really playing for the best. They have the best record wrapped up, so they really don't have much to play for, actually.
Yeah, they don't.
Statistically, they could lose the best record, but they're nine games up
on the Yankees.
Yeah, so they got the best record wrapped up too.
But they're also at a point where you don't really take the foot off the brake yet. You're still trying to play. You're still trying to fight. I mean, yeah, 4-game series. We'd be lucky to come 2-2 out of that.
Right.
So.
And so, are you saying that we can this week, you know, September 21st, we can put the Orioles playoff hopes to bed?
Statistically, no. Realistically, probably. I mean, it's really going to be how you handle yourself with the Astros this weekend and how do you take advantage of playing the Boston Red Sox for 4 games next week as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it really comes down to that. And you're still relying on a whole lot of luck from the other teams.
Yeah.
Because you blew it. You blew opportunities. I'd love for it to come down to that series with the Blue Jays, the final games. Because even though I know we wouldn't have that great of a shot, just to be in it all the way to the final series would be so much fun.
Hey, it's September 21st, and this is the first time where we're, you know, having a conversation with that this is, you know, this playoff hopes might be done.
Right.
That's a pretty late date to be having this conversation.
And it's not – in the past years, 3 weeks ago, we would have our, hey, we've been eliminated conversation. Yeah. We haven't been eliminated. We won't be eliminated for another week at least, I think, if I did the math right. That is great. That is fun baseball. It's fun in Baltimore. We're going into week 3 of the NFL with the Orioles still mattering. That's awesome. I don't think it's going to happen this year. I've got my 2023 World Series Championship shirt upstairs. I've got that one on sale this week on birdlandsports.com. Because that's my belief and my hope right now is that next year, this year was a surprise. It all came early. But what it did is it suddenly gave Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson, Kyle Stowers, Austin Hayes, Cedric Mullins, it gave these guys experience in being in a playoff hunt. It allowed our bullpen to really shine and come alive and prepare for next year. This year gave us an established closer. It's still a couple weeks away where at the end of the season we should do like our top 5 takeaways from the season.
Yeah.
But the biggest takeaway is that we're starting to see who this team is. We've been saying for years 2023. Now we can really say 2023 and we can say why. And we can show you what that why looks like. Instead of just, hey, 5-year rebuild, do all this, farm system's getting better, we can tell you this is why next year I'm putting my money on the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. At some point we got to go through, if we have time today or next week. I mean, as you're watching these players play and knowing what's going on in the farm system, I wonder how many of these players, though, this has been a magical year, and they've outperformed the expectations. And I think if you look at a team like the Blue Jays, they're a better baseball team.
Right.
And partly because they've already done like the sign for agents and trade for players. And we're a little ahead of us in that respect.
Yes.
But I wonder, I've been wondering who's going to be a part of this thing in 2023 and 2024 and 2025. Because I think there's a lot of players on this roster, including the offense, who won't be in a couple of years. But I wanted to do a down on the farm.
Okay.
A couple of notes. I'm wearing today my Aberdeen Ironbird shirt.
Okay.
Today they're playing in the South Atlantic Championship game. It's been a 3-game series. They split the first two. And so the winner of tonight's game is the winner of the league. And it's a nail biter. Right now it's in the 6th inning. It's 1-0. Aberdeen is losing. But I wanted to point out, as it's fun to see, I mean, the Bowie Bay Sox season's done. The Shorebird season's done. Aberdeen's done today, and Norfolk is done at the end of the month. But I wanted to highlight the play of this guy, Judd Fabian. Fabian was my favorite guy from the draft outside of Holiday in this past year's draft, because he's a guy that got drafted last year by the Red Sox and refused to sign, like chose to not sign with the Red Sox, went back to Florida to school. He's a Florida boy, Josh. Oh, he's from Ocala, Florida. I don't know where that is. Ocala, Florida. Anyway, was drafted this year in the second round, like the compensation picks, by the Orioles. And when he signed with the Orioles, he said he didn't want to play for the Red Sox. He had always wanted to play for the Orioles, which is really cool. And since he's been with the Ironbirds from just getting drafted, he's done nothing but rake at Aberdeen. Averaging batting average 333, OBP 455, OPS over 1,000. He's been crushing. So good luck to the Ironbirds tonight. I hope they win the championship. And I think Judd Fabian is a name hopefully we'll be hearing a lot of soon. And I like him because he, again, rejected the Red Sox and wanted to play with the Orioles. That's a cool story.
No, that's an awesome story. And you're right. There's all types of good stories. Listener Drizzle is over at the Ironbirds game tonight wearing a Welcome to Birdland shirt, showing off for Birdland Sports. So got to give him a little shout out as you're bringing up the Ironbirds.
Oh, very cool. And while we're talking about down the farm, a couple other just notes. The Tides are still playing. But by the way, we've been talking about the Tides.
Have you seen what Norby's been doing for the Tide?
Yeah, I wanted to mention him. We got a lot of big names in our system. Henderson was down here all year. We got Kowser. We got Kerstedt. We got Westberg.
Yeah.
Who leads the Orioles minors in home runs? A guy by the name of Connor Norby. A guy who started off this year with the Ironbirds, promoted to Bowie, now promoted to the Tides and playing with the Tides down the stretch. Has another home run today, batting 3 for 5.
He's only had 2 games with the Tide, and he's got 2 home runs and 6 hits.
Yeah, and now has 27 home runs in the season if you combine Aberdeen and Bowie and Norfolk. For the most home runs. And that's the guy. We talk a lot about Westberg and Henderson. I mean, Norby, who, again, is not a low draft pick. He went in the 2021 draft in the second round. So, again, another Mike Elias guy. But a guy who's made huge jumps and strides in the minors this year. So props to Connor Norby.
No, and a guy that has played enough that he's getting that spring invite. They'll be checking him out in Sarasota.
Yeah, and so I know Henderson's in this infield, and I know a lot of people are penciling Westberg in the infield, and he should be because Westberg has had a great year at Norfolk. It makes sense for him to, you know, be with the Orioles at the start of the season or very close to start of the season. But then all of a sudden you got this Connor Norby kid too, who's making the case that he should be there as well, so it's just getting crowded.
What happens to Mateo and Urias?
Yeah.
Because they have played well enough to not be cut or not be demoted. But how do you fit him on this team? It gets interesting.
But here's the Norfolk offense since let's call it last Sunday. The Orioles have been struggling offensively outside of Henderson. But Norfolk since last Sunday, they put up 9 runs, then 12 runs, then 13 runs, then 14 runs, then 9 runs. This is all just consecutive games. Then they had a down night where they only put up 4 runs. But then again, 9 runs. Then 2 runs, and then tonight, 11 runs. I mean, they've put up double digits the past 2 weeks, all but, 2 nights? I mean, it's just kind of been incredible what their offense is doing. So that's, I think, really encouraging because a lot of that offense is Connor Norby and Colton Kowser and Jordan Westberg.
Yeah, the future.
And some Brett Phillips in there, too. But a lot of it is the future.
Not Brett Phillips. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But a lot of it is the future.
But Brett Phillips is enjoying that paycheck.
Yeah, absolutely. Josh, also, Grace Marigas started today.
Yeah.
He could have started for the Orioles. They chose to start him again at Norfolk. Do you think Grace Marigas gets any starts for the Orioles? We're running out of starts here.
I mean, he's really, what do we have? 2 more opportunities, right? At most. I don't know. I could easily see the argument of like, bring him up for experience. I could also see the argument of every game matters, and I don't really want to put my rookie star, no matter how great I think he is pitcher, do I want to put him in a position where you lose and our season's over? Even though the season's kind of already over, it's not mathematically yet.
Yeah. Like, well, what if it's mathematically over for his last start? Did he get his last start in Baltimore?
I don't know. It's really at that point of like contract. And I know people hate to hear the business side of the game, but is there any advantage to have him coming up for one game? If it's not going to push you to the playoffs, what's the point?
Yeah. Yeah. Not to mention, he's coming off injury, so he's still building up his innings. I would maybe add extra pressure to him. And to what gain? Can you gain a whole lot of experience for being up here for 2 days?
No.
I don't know what the real benefit is at this point.
I mean, when does Norfolk season end?
Their last game is the 28th, so a week from today.
All right, so if you want
to have another week after that.
So you could let him come up and hang out in the dugout for a week and not even pitch if you want to get him around big leaguers. In the dugout, hanging out, would get him pretty much the same amount of experience as if he came up and pitched one game.
Yeah. Yeah, I tend to agree. I don't. If they do let him start the last game, fine, but I don't expect it, and I don't care that much.
All right. Say the Orioles get mathematically eliminated.
Right.
Do you bring him up for the very last home game to bring the crowd in? Or is that even possible? Can the Orioles even be eliminated before the last home game?
When's the last home game?
That's what I'm pulling up. Oh, the Toronto series.
Oh, so, yeah, they can be.
They could. Yeah, they could bring them up and say, hey, guys, we know we're eliminated. We still got to play these three games with the Blue Jays. But, hey, come on up and see Grayson Rodriguez pitch. D.L. Hall will pitch one. And I don't know. Ryan McKenna can pitch the third game. Whatever. That seemed to excite the crowd.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they are going to put him on in the offseason. I think they have to protect him for the 40-man. And he's going to be there on opening day. I'm confident that he'll be there on opening day.
Yes.
So there's no harm on putting the 40-man. But he will just, I feel like, be taking up space. Yes, I don't know. I'm conflicted about it. I don't really care one way or the other, to be honest.
Who pitches the home opener? Grayson Rodriguez or the big arm that we sign?
Yeah. Or Tyler Wells.
Oh, see, you missed the correct answer. The correct answer is Ohtani.
Yeah, Ohtani.
Ohtani for this week.
Yeah.
Let's sit in the dream.
I'll be good with that. So it was, speaking of playoffs, I also want to mention, it was good to see Buck Showalter, the Mets, clinch their playoff berth. Do you see that?
Yeah.
How did that make you feel to watch him give hugs to everybody?
I love Buck. Did you see him asking for the ball?
Yeah.
For when the Mets set the record for most hit by pitch?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, the Mets set the record this year for the most hit by pitch, so he asked for the ball.
Okay.
For the last one to set the record. I like that.
I also am talking this press conference about Tiki-Taki. His comments there kind of went viral.
Yeah, and he was talking about some musician, too, that went viral as well.
Yeah,
I love and miss. I got some acquaintances down here and some friends that are Mets fans, and I am so jealous that they get Buck Showalter every night.
Yeah,
I miss Buck.
Yeah, I mean, this is Braves territory down here, so they're not fans of Buck or the Mets, but
right.
But yeah, I've never rooted for the Mets before. I've had never had a reason to. But come playoff time, I'm gonna be pushing for the Mets.
Sure.
That's gonna be my team.
Speaking of managers, we got to talk about manager Hyde.
Why?
Because my question for you is this week of like the Orioles and their story and then just struggling through these stupid games and big blowouts and stuff this past week, does that ruin his chances at manager of the year? Because when you look, the fact that the Orioles were projected for crap and they did this much, he should be a shoo-in for manager of the year. But does the fact that they don't make the playoffs, does the fact that they lost games they should win this past week hurt his chances at manager of the year?
I don't know. I don't know how they decide manager of the year. It's such a weird thing.
It's voting. It's newspaper columnists and reporters voting.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but what I mean
slightly
is like,
better than the All-Star voting.
How do you assess how good a manager is? Like, maybe they should just say their projected win total, whoever had, you know, more wins than their projected win total wins the manager of the year, right? Or should it go to some team who actually, I don't know, overcame injuries and overcame adversity? If you look at, I mean, you also look at playoff teams – like the Mariners, who haven't been in the playoffs in forever. Maybe I don't even know who is managing now the Mariners, but maybe it should go to the manager for the Mariners. And so I don't know. I don't care. I don't care about manager of the year. I only care about rookie of the year because I have money on Rutschman, but that's not looking good for me right now. But I don't really care about these. Even there's all this discussion about Ohtani or Judge for the MVP. I don't really care about that either. I think they're both having incredible seasons, and we can enjoy watching them both without fighting over who gets the MVP. So I think Hyde has obviously done an amazing job this year. And so, yeah, I really don't care if he gets the manager of the year. I mean, I hope he gets it. Just gives him some love, but I don't care that much.
Yeah. And I mean, come on, Judge is having a pretty amazing season. As long as we don't find out this offseason, oh, he was on this steroid or something. If he passes 62, you got to give him the MVP. I am very entertained by the fact that Major League Baseball and all reporters have done a great job of pretending that Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, and Sammy Sosa never existed.
Maybe. I was listening to Tim Curtin talk today on the Tony Kornheiser podcast, and he was like, and Tony said what you said, like, yeah, I don't consider McGwire and Sosa to be real home run records as long as he gets past 62. And Kirchner was like, no, like, what are you doing? Like, that's the record is Bonds' record. And he went on to say that he thinks Bonds is the third best hitter of all time behind Babe Ruth and Ted Williams.
And I agree with that take.
And Kirchner's like, if you start not counting their home runs, then you have to reopen every record book and start canceling things and swiping things. And where do you stop?
That's how I feel. That's my point.
All right. Well, you and Tim Kirchner are on the same page.
My point is baseball is pretending like all these other guys didn't exist and trying to say, oh, he's going to set the record for most home runs. When baseball put everyone in that steroid era, baseball created that steroid era because it was good for baseball. And now they want to pretend because it has became a little bit of a black eye for baseball, they want to pretend and not put these guys in the Hall of Fame and not do this and that and pretend like the players did this without our knowledge when we know that all of Major League Baseball knew this was going on and that it was going on with the pitchers and the batters and Major League Baseball accepted it. So now they're trying to pretend with this Aaron Judge thing that period didn't exist, that period didn't happen. And I think it's complete crap.
Yeah. No, I think it's crap too. And I'm to the point where I'm starting to, I did it yesterday and I'm going to start doing this more. This is where we need a red zone for baseball. But like, I'll turn on the Yankees game because I want to see Aaron Judge. I want to see him get, you know, he got 60. I want to see how many home runs he gets. I love that they're pitching to him. He's not getting the Barry Bonds treatment where he walks every time. Pitchers are pitching to him. But no, I don't hate Aaron Judge. I'm glad. I mean, if it's going to happen to a Yankee, I'm glad it happened to him. Going to be next Yankee after this year, but no, I'm intrigued by it. I think it's a cool story. I'm a fan of this kind of chase to 70 now.
I mean, he's at 60 now. We know he's going to get 62. I hope he gets 73.
I do too. For baseball's sake.
For baseball, so that we can say, hey, you did pass Bonds instead of this
and Bonds, yeah,
instead of real, fake, whatever crap. It'd be great for baseball if he gets 73. You don't think he's a Yankee next year?
No, I don't.
You think you can set a mark like that and the Yankees can just say, okay, go play someplace else?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I do. I think the Yankees have become fiscally responsible. And I think he's going to cost a ton of money. And I think he'll go somewhere else.
Because the reason he's hitting those home runs is because he's in a bandbox. Because he's in Yankee Stadium.
Well, it doesn't hurt. Yeah, he would have less for the Orioles.
Yes.
He would not have 60 for the Orioles.
No.
He might have a lot. But
no, he's still gonna have a good amount and a good season.
I mean he is on the he's gonna he has a chance to win the Triple Crown, which is also kind of incredible. to do. He's not doesn't just hit for power. He also hits for average. So yeah, it's pretty incredible.
No, he's incredible.
Yeah, have an incredible year. All right, hey. So I know. Let's do this real quick, Josh. I'm gonna say a name from the Orioles roster.
Okay.
And you tell me, kind of rank them 1 to 10. 10, they're a definite part of our future. So next year, but also 2024, 2025, like they are a definite part of our future is 10. 1 is they're gone after this year. Like there's no chance they're coming back. Or it's, you know, somewhere in between there of 1 to 10. All right.
So 10, you're coming back.
10, you're coming back. 1, you're not coming back. You know, and or you're somewhere in the middle there.
All right, let's go.
Let's start with the catchers. Adley Rutschman.
10.
Robinson Chirinos.
3.
Oh, man. He better be a 1.
I mean, it depends. He's not. He's going to be super cheap, and you're going to be like, "Who? Why do you care who the backup is?"
Well, I think because they want to rest Adley to keep that bat healthy. So I think he's a 1. They better bring in a better backup.
No, I don't see it coming.
I don't
like the guy. I just don't see spending money on a backup.
So let's go to the infield. Gunnar Henderson.
10.
Ryan Mountcastle.
10.
Really?
But maybe not at first base. Maybe DH.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the slump of Ryan Mountcastle.
He had a really bad – he's having a better September.
Right.
Had a really bad August.
Yeah. I don't think you replace Ryan Mountcastle at this time. You're not giving him a 10? What are you giving him, an 8?
I mean, I think a lot of people give him lower than a 10. You look at his batting average on base percentage.
Yeah, but I'm just saying he'll be here. I'm saying a 10 is – I don't see why you would replace him.
You don't see that as a position we could upgrade in free agency?
You could upgrade first base, but I think then you keep Mountcastle as your DH. I don't think Mountcastle is not on this team next year.
What about in 2 years?
You asked me about next year.
Well, going forward. Like to me, a 10 is they're here for the next 3 years.
See, you didn't ask me that. You said a 10 means they're guaranteed here next year.
No, 10, we'll rephrase the question. I said 2023, 24, 25.
Fine.
10 is they're here for the long haul the next 3 years.
All right, so we're going 3 years now. Mountcastle is a 7.
Okay. Yeah, I'd probably put it around there too. I was going to say 8. So I put it right there. Odor.
1.
Okay. I think a 3.
I like Odor, but I can't see him on this team next year when we talk about how many infielders we have that that would play better than Odor on this team now.
I know. It's hard to imagine, but it's also hard to imagine that him being on the starting lineup every day, but somehow he's there. So there's some part of it. Like,
there's something. Everybody loves Odor.
Sign him.
But his contract's up after this year, right?
Yeah, it's a 1 year.
It was a 1 year.
Yeah. I mean, they could sign him to I don't think anyone else is going to sign him next year. Like, what about this year makes another team sign him? So maybe like a minor league deal?
Could
so
we sign him as the mascot or a clubhouse attendant? Because we want him around the guys. We just don't want him on the field.
Yeah, bat boy, something.
Yeah, something like that.
Jorge Mateo.
Oh, see, that's where it gets tough. I'm going to go because Mateo is good. Mateo has shown that he deserves a spot. But you have so many young guys behind Mateo that it really makes you wonder, is Mateo a trade chip? Is Mateo a guy that you could trade, you still have control, he's proven, he's cheap. Is he a good trade chip? I'm going to go 6 because I think he's a trade chip.
Yeah. I remember hearing Elias talk about how much he enjoyed like exciting baseball, steals, triples, like these things that we love in baseball.
That Mateo symbolizes.
Part of moving the wall back was for signing free agent pitchers, but also to make the game more exciting. I think Elias loves Mateo. I think he loves Mateo. I think he loves his playing style, the way that he plays. So I'm a little higher than you. What number did you say?
I think I said 6 because I think he's a trade chip.
Okay. I would put him more as a 7 maybe. But not as an everyday starting shortstop. I see him more as, I mean, he's the perfect super utility player, can play the infield positions, can be your late inning defensive replacement, can be your pinch runner late in the game.
That's how they used him today.
Can play a little bit of everywhere.
Tonight, Varva played second base, and then Mateo went in the eighth as a pinch runner to steal.
Yeah, perfect. I see that his role going forward in the future. Speaking of Vavra, is Vavra, he's a weird one, right? Doesn't get a ton of playing time.
Yeah, but he's got a 279 batting average.
He's listed, even on, I'm on the Orioles website looking at their 40-man. That's where I'm pulling his name
from. What's
he
listed as?
I don't forget anybody.
What position?
A designated hitter. So he's not even getting a position. Isn't that weird?
That's weird. Vavra.
He's played left field. He can play second base. What's the future of Vavra?
I don't know about Vavra. I'm going to go with a 5 because, again, if you keep him in this infield, he's blocking people. If you keep him in this outfield, he's blocking people. But he's proven himself to be an everyday player. So could he be a bench guy? Sure. Is he a bench guy? I don't know. I'm going to go 5.
Yeah, I mean, look at Vavra. All the things I said about Mateo don't really apply that well to Vavra as being a super utility guy. I mean, he does have flexibility. He can play multiple positions, but not as well as Mateo. And I mean, if I'm a rebuilding team, a guy like Vavra, as I want to sign him and play him every day. But for the Orioles, I think it's going to be a numbers game. So, yeah, I put it as a 3. I don't see him as being part of the future long term. I think there's too many other more talented players.
I just don't know. You go either way. All right, who's next?
Ramon Urias.
See, you're getting me with these guys that are tricky guys because again,
I mean, I'm just going down the roster.
Again,
this is the roster.
Urias had a great start to the season. Defensively, he's one of the better players on the team, but he's only batting .241. He's got that sneaky pop home run.
Sneaky pop.
But again, he's a trade chip. I'm going 6 because he's blocking young guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is who Ramon Urias is, right? He's a decent hitter. He's a plus defender. I mean, I think actually he can play multiple infield positions. He could be a neat utility guy, but you kind of already have that in Mateo if you keep Mateo like that. So it's, I mean, I like him too, but I also think this is a spot where we can upgrade with a Norby and Westberg or free agency.
Yeah.
I put him as a 3.
All right. I like this. I like that you're not agreeing with me on any numbers. You're going a little more, a little less. This is good. All right. Where's the next?
Let's go. That's the infield. Infield done. Touch on the outfield real quick. Outfield, and these I'm talking about guys who are on the 40-man and currently on the team, actually. So Austin Hayes.
Austin Hayes is an 8. I think Austin, I love Austin Hayes. I love watching him. I love defensively Austin and Cedric side by side. He really cooled off a little bit there. Again, had a poor August where he was really struggling. He's getting on base again, starting up, but he's batting .247. He's batting .249. Sorry. So I love Austin Hayes. I love his speed. I want him to prove himself as a major league player, and he's taken steps, but I'm not ready to give him that 9-10 slot that I can give Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at something like defensive war with Hayes, I don't know if we care about this, but he's in the negatives and he's kind of never been great in his career.
Right.
I know he's got the strong arm strength, but I actually think the Orioles can do better defensively than Austin Hayes. You said what, a 7 or 8?
I said a 7.
Yeah. This one, I actually think we're kind of going to disagree on. I would put it probably a 4. I think it's more than likely that Austin Hayes is not a part of the long-term future of the Orioles. Just because you look at good outfits coming up like Colton Cowser.
Right.
And then maybe we go in free agency with outfit as well, too. And Austin Hayes is just, I feel like Austin Hayes is good. He's average. He's a little bit above average, but he's not. And he's exciting. Like, he plays so hard and he's fun to watch.
Like, he's.
But at the end of the day, his numbers are, I think, somewhat pedestrian.
He's the favorite Oriole of a lot of kids.
Yes, and he's very likable.
And it's because of the style he plays. And it's awesome. And I love that kids love Austin Hayes. I love Austin Hayes for the same reasons. But like I was saying, he's not a star like Gunnar and Adley are. He's good.
I mean, if you care about numbers like weighted runs created plus, it's at 105, which is, again, it's that's kind of who he is. I feel like it's fine. But I feel like that's also a spot wing upgrade. So yeah, there's a bunch of guys I would throw. You mentioned Mateo, Urias. I would throw Hayes in there too. But I mean, you can't have every player in your team is not going to be elite. Like, you're going to have your Austin Hayes guys on the team.
Right.
But also when you're at this point where you're good, but looking to make advancements, you got to look for where are the spots on the field that we can upgrade. And these are some possible spots where the Orioles could.
And it's like, when you look at how you rate players, you have your A players, your B players, your C players. And in the farm system, you have your A, Bs, and Cs. And what the great teams do is they keep the A players and they trade the B players. And the B and when you have a great farm system and a good team, your A players, your B players are A players on other teams. And it's to the point that some of those B players, like Urias, Mateo, Hayes, they're kind of phasing out in Baltimore, but those B players can be A players on other teams because they don't have the depth.
It's an interesting point. I don't know. I don't know what the trade market is for Mateo, Urias, or Hayes. I don't know. I'd be curious to see what that trade market is like. Ryan McKenna?
I love Ryan McKenna. Am I crazy?
I do too. I'm a big
Ryan McKenna. Why am I such a big McKenna fan? Where I feel like he takes advantage of opportunities. I love the way McKenna plays the game. I want McKenna. I want to give McKenna a 10. He's not a 10. I'm going to go with a 7 with McKenna.
Yeah. Again, he seems like the ideal fourth outfielder. I would call him sneaky pop too. I think he can hit home runs. But he's fast. He's great defensively, or he's good defensively. He's a good base runner. He's a guy you want in there late in the game. And he can spell the guys. So yeah, I think fourth, fifth outfielder. I put him as a 7. Yeah. I think it's a good number for him.
I don't think he's necessarily not as a starter,
but just as a bench player. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why I like McKenna so much. I just do.
I know. And it's something about, like, maybe if he played every day, we get annoyed with him.
Right.
If he only plays every now and then, we can still like him.
Yes, I agree.
Cedric Mullins.
Oh, see, I'm interested on your take on Cedric Mullins because I like Cedric Mullins. But I think Cedric Mullins falls into that really good player. Really good player. He's taken some good strides, good steps. He's a really good player. I think he's a 6. I don't know. He's an A outfielder on this team now. I don't know if 2 years from now he's an A player.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at last year, he would have been, if you had the conversation last year, he would have been a 10, right? Yes. Last year he had an OBP of 360, a batting average of 291, hit 30 home runs, famously, right? To go along with the 30 stolen bases. This year, the stolen bases are there, but all the other offensive numbers are down.
All of our team is stealing bases. Mateo, Hayes, McKenna, all these guys are stealing bases.
Henderson is fast.
Henderson. Yeah. So suddenly, you don't need Mateo as your only base stealer. Or not Mateo, Mullins.
Mullins, yeah. Now this year's batting 261, 322 on base percentage. They even started to bench him against lefties.
Yeah,
he's having a down year compared to what he had last year. So I guess you got to ask yourself, is kind of this who Cedric Mullins is, or can he get back to what he put up last year? Because last year, if he can put up the numbers he put up last year, he's a 10. If he's putting up the numbers he did this year, he's closer to what you said, about a 6 or whatever. I would put him – I mean, I think – eventually, he's a guy that's likely to move to maybe left field right? If you move away from Austin Hayes, he could move to left. He gives you that speed, and you're less concerned about the arm strength playing left field. But I think he's still going to be a part of this team. I think he makes for a nice platoon opportunity if you want to platoon him. I would say 8 for Cedric Mullins.
Right, so you're higher on Mullins than me.
I'm a little higher. Yeah. Kyle Stowers.
I like Sunshine. I like him. I like Stowers. I think I like Stowers. I like our guys. I think Stowers, I wish he would play more. I'd like to see more of Stowers, and maybe it's like McKenna, where if I saw more of Stowers, I'd get sick of Stowers. I like the way he plays the game. I like the fun. I am going to go with a 7 for Stowers. I know that's probably higher than you have him, but I like him. I want to see more of Stowers.
Well, I'm with you. It's hard to put a number on because I want to see more of him. If they were playing him every day, I feel like I would have a better idea of what number to give him. Because I feel like in my mind, 7 sounds good to me. But if they're not playing him, if they actually want to play Aguilar over Stowers, well, maybe they view Stowers as a 4 and we view him as a 7 or something.
Right.
Maybe they don't like him as much as we do. But yeah, I mean, he's a power hitter. He's shown the ability to grow and improve as a hitter. His walk rate was up in the minors. He's actually proven the ability in the minors to hit both righties and lefties, even though we'll never play him against lefties. I think he's the ideal platoon guy, righty, lefty. It's weird too, because like McKenna's that fourth outfielder with the speed and can play multiple positions. Stowers isn't that guy. I feel like you want Stowers playing every day. I would put Stowers long term future here. There's also some good outfielders coming on the way. So I would put him as a 6, but I feel like I want to see him play every day. Like, he'll definitely be here next year. And hopefully next year I'll have a chance to play in 100 games or something. And then next year I think we'll have a much better idea if Stowers is,
right,
how good Stowers is.
Because I get excited. And part of it is, come on, I've been watching tonight's game. Stowers went 2 for 4 so far tonight. He's got a 2-run home run. It's fun to watch him play. So a little biased there.
Yeah. And his first home run, I mean, come on, to tie the game, send an extra innings.
Yeah, clutch.
It's got that clutch gene. So, I'm a Stowers guy. So, I convinced myself to go up to 7 now on him just after our conversation. It's not an interesting guy who's had a really good year in a team that lacks I think our team kind of lacks power. Yeah. Santander is our power guy, 27 home runs, hitting the middle of the order. Josh, how do you see Santander? He's 27 now. 27 years old, so a little bit older than maybe the other players we've been talking about.
4.
But you think 4. You think 4. Santander
okay, is gone. I think he should have been traded at the offseason.
Say 1, you coward.
I think he should have been traded at the trade deadline. I think I would be trading him this offseason. I think we got a bunch of young guys. If you trade I like Santander in the lineup. But you've got guys now that can hit. You've got Rutschman in the lineup. You got Henderson in the lineup. An outfield of Hayes, Mullins, Stowers for next year sounds like a lot of fun to me. I would like to trade Santander this offseason.
Wow. So if I ask you to rank the outfielders, Mullins, Hayes, and Santander, as far as just all-around baseball player who you want on your team, how would you rank Mullins, Santander, and Hayes?
That's the funny thing. I'd put Santander first.
Okay, the guy you want to trade.
Yes.
Explain that to me.
But because I think he's at the top of his game, I don't think he goes any higher. I think you can trade high on him right now, and I think you've got young guys that where he lacks maybe defensively. I don't know what his defensive war is right now, but I think
it's negative 12 for those who care.
See, I think you can put a younger guy with more range out there in the right field. And then I think you have enough bats coming up in the lineup that you can afford to let him go at a point where you want guys that you can trade and make some moves. I think he's a good trade candidate.
Yeah, I would agree with you last year. This year, though, I think he's just been so good and a team that's kind of lacked offense. If I was doing that ranking, I would still probably put Mullins first, hoping he regains some of the form last year, but he's still a good player. So I put Mullins first, then Santander, then Hayes. So to me, if you give me those three guys, like I would be, you know, the quickest to say goodbye to Hayes actually over Santander.
I agree. But yeah. I think you get more back for Santander.
Yeah, that may be true. But I'm not, I don't care, Josh, at this point what we get back. I care about what you get more, a better single A player. Like we're talking about, we're prepared to kind of win now. And I want, and I think this team lacks power in the middle of the lineup. I think we're getting better with it with Rutschman and Henderson and Westbrook coming and Norby coming clearly with 27 home runs in the minors this year. But I still think we need the power of Santander. Hayes doesn't bring that power. Mullins doesn't really bring that power this year. So I think you needed that guy in the middle of the lineup. And so yeah, I would not trade. I would not pursue trades with Santander. I might pursue trades with some other guys like Urias and Hayes, but I think Santander stays. And I've come around on this. This is the first year I would say like I really want Santander on my team, just for what he brings offensively. I think too, I mean he's a good DH guy. If you play Ryan Mountcastle every day at first, because Ryan Mountcastle has made some great improvements at first base.
Yes.
Santander is a guy, switch hitter, can be your everyday DH.
Yeah. Okay. Right. I understand that. I think we both see him the same way. It's just whether he's blocking people or not. I like the DH role. I didn't think about that. I do like that angle.
Yeah. One last guy. Jesus Aguilar.
Why is he on this team now? Forget about next year. Like, forget about 3 years
like
from now.
He's like a negative two. Like he should have been cut 2 months ago.
Yeah. Like what are we doing?
Yeah. I don't understand. I still don't. It was like the Brett Phillips thing.
I don't understand. Never will.
So one.
Zero. Can we give a zero?
Yeah. He's zero.
He's gone.
Yeah. He's got to be gone. Clearly a spot you can upgrade. I mean, a spot you can upgrade. Like literally right now, you don't even need to go to free agency. You can upgrade it literally right now, this moment. You can upgrade it by playing Stowers or Babber every day.
Right. You come today and your team's improved.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't get it.
Bizarre. Yeah. All right. So, Josh, I mean, all that to highlight this year, this offseason, next year, going to be some tough decisions to make with the Soros roster.
Yeah.
It could look very different, right? Come even next year.
Yeah, no, it's exciting, and it's like we said at the beginning. This is the year where this is starting to come together, and we're starting to understand what we're viewing. So it's exciting.
Yeah, and this is a good thing because this is what other teams do. It makes you have to make tough decisions on decent players that you like.
Yep.
But there's also like you have to look at this team and say where can we get a little bit better, and we can do another episode later talk about all the pitchers.
I don't know if I want to talk about the
same conversation. About
I don't know if I want
pitchers.
To talk about pitching.
Yeah.
As Jordan Lyles is now pitching in the ninth inning, going for the complete game, giving our bullpen a nice rest day, nice off day.
Nice.
And good news
Jordan
for you.
Jordan Lyles, throwing a complete game?
Jordan Lyles, he's going for a complete game. It is the top
That's
of the
amazing.
Ninth.
That's amazing.
The Orioles are up 8-1, and Stowers just made a nice sliding into foul territory catch.
Because so, Lyles has not been good the past 4 days.
No, Lyles looks great today.
Ever since the illness, he's not been good.
And good news for the Orioles, the Rays lost tonight. So that whole playoff thing where we say, hey, we're out of it, we still keep getting little windows.
Yeah, so we could be looking at 4 games back. And 4 games back
I think
feels to me
half.
Like
I think it'd
we're
be 4.5 from
okay,
the Rays.
Okay, 4.5.
Right?
Are they already lost? I don't know how.
The Rays like have lost.
Already. Okay, so it'd be 4.5. But when I get to into the fours, I think, oh, 4-game sweep. 4-game sweep for us, 4-game sweep for them.
Either way.
In the loss column, boom, we're tied. And the other thing about it is, Josh, there's not a whole lot of other – like it'd be one thing if we're talking about – it's weird because you would think, okay, we're 5 games back. There must be like 3 teams we need to jump to get in the wild card. No, like we're
it's us. It's us and the guys
Sox
who are in the
slots. The White Sox are right behind us, and no other team in the American League has a record above 500. So like no one's even close.
And I get
outside of us and the White Sox. So it's not like we have to hop a bunch of teams to get there.
And here's the problem with being an Orioles fan right now: is we start this episode with, all right, we accept we're not going to the playoffs this year. Here we are at the end of the episode, like, hey, we're four back, and a half baby. Back. We're back in this.
We're back. We're back in it.
The national writers and stuff are saying, all right, well, the playoffs have been worked out. Now they're just playing for wild card seed in. But it's still four and a half games back on September 21st. Yeah, I've got to be a little excited.
Yeah, in sports, listen, we know this. Crazy things happen in sports. I once saw a football team have a 21-point lead in the fourth quarter and lost the game. I saw that happen one time. Crazy thing in sports happen all the time.
Hey, this is the final 2 minutes of a football game. Next 2 weeks. We're five points behind.
That'd be like we're seven games back. No. But we're only 17 points behind. We're not even 21 points behind.
We're a touchdown behind. When we talk next week, we might be a field goal behind.
Yeah. We're a field goal and a safety behind.
All right. And the Orioles just locked up that win. So good game for the Orioles tonight, even after a crappy series with the Tigers.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens with Houston.
Yeah, now it becomes kind of a must-win at Houston, which you never want to be a must-win at Houston, but...
Well, no, it's in Baltimore.
Oh, yeah, I just mean against Houston. You don't want to have must-win games against Houston, but yeah, it's going to be... It's still appointment viewing your Baltimore Orioles here at the end of September.
It's so much fun. It's so much fun to have baseball that matters.
And we're going to transition right into football that matters, too, when the season's done.
Yeah, and congratulations, Jordan Lyles, for his complete game. That's always special.
Yeah, it's awesome. He was a little bit rough the past few starts, but he's been an important contributor. Leads the team in innings, all that stuff, like an important, especially all those issues at the starting rotation, to have a guy consistently pitching deep into ball games the entire season. Jordan Lyles has been a nice pickup.
Yeah.
What's his number?
Jordan Lyles again, it's like it changes day to day. Hey, he just pitched a complete game. He's an 8.
Yeah.
Ask me in a week, he's a 3.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to be another interesting conversation. No, to see
just
if
like the rotation for next year. The rotation of next year is so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. What do they do? Who can move to the bullpen? Because it's not all of them.
When is Means ready? Who do we sign and bring in? How does it all come together? I don't want this season to end. And I also can't wait for the off-season conversations.
Yeah, because we'll be in the talks. We'll be in the running for a lot of these players, hopefully. A lot of the top players, hopefully. That's my expectation, that we get a top rotation arm and a top of the, a top hitter. I want those two things.
You're dreaming. Pinch me.
And we can solve both those things with Ohtani.
Ohtani it is.
The answer is Ohtani.
All right. Hey, last week we talked about how we wished there was a NFL Red Zone type channel for baseball.
Right.
And a listener tagged us on Twitter to let us know that there is such a thing. It's called the MLB Strike Zone. Now, here's the problem. I cannot figure out how to get to Strike Zone unless you have like Charter, Cable, Spectrum, all these random things.
Oh, it's like a channel 643.
You and I pay for MLB TV.
Yeah.
You would think the Strike Zone would be on there.
Yeah.
It ain't. It's not there. I can't find it. I can't get it on anything. So it's there. It exists. It's also only certain days of the week. It's like Thursday through Sunday or something. Thursday through Saturday. It's some weird thing where it's only certain days. It exists. Baseball's working on it. Bring it to MLB.tv. Let us watch it.
If it exists, but no one can watch it, does it really exist?
Yeah, I don't think so. It still doesn't exist to me. I'll still be saying, hey, I wish there was a Red Zone until people tell me.
Yeah.
Keep pointing it out to me. When I have to ask you, hey, how do I get it? And you send me a link of one of these billion Comcast subscribers or whatever, and I can't see any brands that I recognize, you can't get it.
Hmm. It's all right. It used to be like that for the Masson app for a while, but now we can get it.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when Masson 1 and 2 came out, and I would go to the gym, and I'd get so irritated because the gym wouldn't pay for Masson 2. They would only have Masson 1. So if I would go on days that the Orioles were on Masson 2, I couldn't watch the Orioles.
There was no way to know.
And there was no way to know until I got there. I hated that so much.
Yeah. So dumb. All right, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here while the Orioles still have playoff hopes alive.
4.5 games, right?
Yeah. Hopefully we can say the same thing next week. Not 4.5 games, but the playoff hopes are still alive.
It's so fun.
Yeah, if they could squeak in here over Seattle, maybe Rutschman could even get the Rookie of the Year over Rodriguez. That would be awesome. All right, you can write us a review on iTunes. Like us on Facebook and Instagram. You can get your own T-shirt for the sports.
Go get the 2023 shirts. I've got them on sale for $11.99. 2023 World Series champions. Over on BurnlandSports.com. Get them.
Yeah, get them now. So you can be the... Now, for the record, I was wearing in 2021, so you can take that and stick it.
I know.
But
I know. We've had them for a while.
Or maybe 2020. I don't know when
but
I started wearing
them. I'll tell you what. I keep getting samples. I got a whole shipment of sample shirts and sweatshirts and like an all-over shirts that have like the Maryland flag on both sides and stuff. Every shirt I get, I'm so excited. They all turn out great. I'm really enjoying doing this. And so definitely check it out.
Cool, absolutely. And you can also go to iTunes, give us a 5-star review, write a nice comment. We appreciate it. Let other people know about the show. You can also follow us on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at Section336. Follow Josh on Twitter
at Josh Soroka.
Thanks for listening, boys and girls. And as always, go O's.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.